If you have your Bible, please stand up and hold your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Turn around and show it to the people around you. Greet them. Let them know how happy you are to see them here. You may be seated, please. It's 2 weeks till Christmas. Did I scare you? We know it was near, but all of a sudden somebody said, it's 2 weeks till Christmas. And so when it's 2 weeks till Christmas, we start thinking about all the things that we need to do and what we haven't done, right? 2 weeks till Christmas. So when it's 2 weeks to Christmas and you come to church, you think, well, we're probably hearing Christmas sermons by this time. And as a pastor, I've told you before, I'm thinking, how many Christmas sermons are there? At this point in my life, I've preached hundreds of Christmas sermons. Is there anything left to preach? Oh, yes. And a lot of times it's right under our nose. It's something that we've read a lot of times. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, of course, we see the story of the birth of Jesus. We see how Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. But today I want us to focus on verses 8 through 18. It's the shepherd's part of the story. You say, well, I know this already. So I want to caution you if I can at this time. Here's what happens to us a lot of times as believers. Sometimes we read a familiar passage of Scripture. And so in our mind, we begin to turn it off because we say, oh, I know that already. Has that ever happened to anybody? Thank you for being honest. I know that already. What else could I know about it? In verses 8 through 18, we read this. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. In other words, they went out and told everyone how this happened. God orchestrated this thing to where we found the Messiah. There's no way that we would have known where he was at, but what happened? We were out in the fields. We were watching our flocks. All of a sudden, there were an angel. Then there was a multitude of angels. We were afraid, and the angel said, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news. There's something that's going to change the world. Savior has been born. What did they know about the Savior? Well, understand that they knew the Savior was coming. God had told them, and their generation, for generations before, I'm sending a Savior, a Messiah. He's coming. They went on to tell people as they made it known abroad that they found him in a manger. They would have never found him in the manger, but God gave them instructions as to where they would find him. Where did they find him? Tell the people around you where they found him. Sometimes God orchestrates things that are just mind-blowing. You know, at some time in every person's life, they have to make a decision like the shepherds made. And that's the verse that we're going to talk about today. It's verse 15. There's a phrase in that verse that we read all the time, and today we want to wear that verse out. That phrase says, let us now go. It sounds like a simple phrase, doesn't it? We don't even say it like that anymore. Today, we just say, let's go. Right? Don't you know that if you were to look around, you would see how common this phrase is. I remember years ago watching a baseball game. I was at one of my son's baseball games, and all of a sudden, somebody got a hit, and they were on second base, and they turned around clapping their hands, and they said, let's go! And it's become the battle cry, hasn't it? You ever see these athletic events where the people are standing up and yelling, and they pan the camera on them, and all you can see is they're saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. Have you ever seen that? Man, what if we were that passionate about the Lord? Let's go! That's an action word, isn't it? It means leave the position that you're at. It means let's get excited. Something's going to happen. It means we're going forward. And when a fan says that about their team, it means that, hey, it's going to happen. We're going to do this. Let's go. The shepherd said, let us now go. I want you to see the importance. And I tried to play it out in the children's sermon. Sometimes the children's sermon is for the adults. You know that, right? First of all, Cammie had to believe what I told her, didn't she? Secondly, even though I didn't tell her, she had to make a conscious, cognitive decision to get up and go. You know, these shepherds were told, for unto you, for you, there's a gift for you. There's a gift for you in Bethlehem. You will never see when you read this story that the angels told them to go. Crazy, isn't it? They made a conscious decision that said, let us now go. And not just let's go, let us now go. That's imperative. What do you mean, let us now go? Well, they had just been told where Jesus is. The Savior was born. They had to say, let us now go. They didn't say, hey, we need to decide whether we're going to go or not. What about all these sheep? What about our responsibility? We could go see the Savior, but what about this? And should we go? And I've heard that's about 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem. Bethlehem is a piece of land that has hills, and it's not an easy trip, but, you know, they said, let's go. They were out in the fields. They had to make this decision. It was conscious. I don't know that it was convenient at the time, but it was imperative that they went right now. Remember that. It says in verse 16, they came with haste. So that tells me that they didn't wait around. Don't you know, sometimes when God tells us something and we know we should go, and He's wanting us to say, let's go, sometimes we put it off, don't we? He shows us something, but we think it to death. What about this and what about that? They said, let us now go. I think about the prophet Isaiah. I think about as he spoke to Israel on behalf of God. He said this in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. He said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. That means turn. Let him repent of his ways unto the Lord. And what will the Lord do? The Lord will have mercy upon him. He will abundantly pardon him. You see, Isaiah puts it in this category, in the seeking category. You see, to say let's go and to act upon let's go, as far as it concerns the Lord, that's to seek. It's to look and search for. It's important when we see this story, because we see that the shepherds acted upon what they were told. They decided to seek while the Lord may be found. There are many times that the Lord makes Himself known to us, isn't there? Sometimes it's by someone else witnessing to us. How many people can remember that someone witnessed to you before you were saved? So what the Lord was doing is he was making himself known to you. You can be found at the same place that this person found me. I'm not far away from you. You can be found. Our witness is everything. We're saying that, hey, this is where you can find the Lord. So you have the job of the angels. You say, well, the job of the angels. Well, angels are messengers. We're messengers. We're telling people where they can find the Lord. And so you can't make anyone accept the Lord as their Savior. You can't save anyone. Only God can save them. They have to come to Jesus. The same way the shepherds had to say, let's go, they have to say, let's go. That's a conscious decision that somebody has to make. Some people don't make it. Everybody has a choice to make it. I think about the simple definition of the word seek. It's not complicated. To seek is to try to find. Try being the key word means to put effort into it. It takes effort to come to the Lord. You know, today there's a different message that's being put out there that says you're all God's children. You don't really have to come to him, as if we could just gradually absorb into God. But God said it requires a decision on our part. He says you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You have to call upon him. You have to come to him. You have to go and say at some point, let me go to God. I was raised in a church years ago that basically I was convinced at a certain age that my parents did their due diligence and they brought me to God when I was a baby, and I was baptized into the church and I was good to go until I was old enough to take this class. And if I could pass this class, then they could give me a certificate that says, hey, I was still good to go. It was as if I didn't have any choice. I just sort of just merged into God. Nothing changed in me. You know why? I never had to say, let's go. I never had to act upon it. Somebody just told me what I needed to do, and that's the way you did it. That's not God's way. And he shows us that in this story. To seek is to try to find. That means you're putting effort. Sometimes people hear where they can find Jesus by hearing a sermon. Sometimes they hear the witness of somebody else, and they decide not to seek him. And everyone has that opportunity. Is he hard to find? And when can you find him? Let me share something with you briefly. God loves you. He made you. The Bible says that he knew the minute that you were going to come into this world, and he knows the second that you're going to leave. And he's established everywhere that you're going to go. He's orchestrating all the time his power. He can bring you in front of somebody that you had no idea, and that person can share with you what he wants you to do. God can use that person. He can use. That's how powerful God is. Sometimes we get a glimpse of that and it blows our mind, but I'm saying that to say this. God loves you so much that he's made sure that you get word that he loves you, but that he made a way for you to come to him. But the way for you to come to him is that he's going to show you the same thing that he showed the shepherds. He's going to show you where to find Jesus, because Jesus said, you have to come through me. And you're not coming through the baby, but then again, you are. You see, if he was never a baby, he could have never embraced humanity. The Bible says that he was made like we are. He was tempted like we are, yet he never sinned. That's why Jesus can be the sacrifice for our sin. That's why he can be the lamb that was sacrificed for us. But still, that he's there and somebody tells you that Jesus died for you so that you could accept his sacrifice, his sinless sacrifice, you still don't have it until somewhere in your mind you say, let's go. You have to go to where you were told he is at. Sometimes that's at an altar. Sometimes that's outside, kneeling down. Sometimes that's at a bedside. People can receive him wherever. You find him through your belief. But I want you to understand how big God is. He's going to make sure he has a way of orchestrating every single thing to happen. And when he does, you have to say what the shepherds said. What did they say? They said, let us go now. Don't you know that for every person that refuses the information that God gives them, like he gave the shepherds, here's where you can find Jesus. For every person that refuses that, God has a record, an account of all the things that he set up to make sure they could. That's what judgment is, basically. You didn't receive what I gave you an opportunity to receive. My gift is in Bethlehem, shepherds. You have to say, let us now go. Right? Hey, let me show you God's powerful hand on an everyday basis. Typical day. What was yesterday? Somebody remind me. What was yesterday? Saturday, just a Saturday. Does God work on Saturdays? So I was invited to go down to the Billy Graham Library. And Saturday is not my best day. I happen to have a couple things to do on Sunday. And so I'm usually not good company on Saturday evening. And I thought, but you know what? I'm going. I need to go. And I experienced different things that I needed to see just going there. And I saw the beauty of the lights. I saw what was going on. But I also saw some people. Yeah, that story's going to get a little bit longer. So I saw some people. Me and Angie talked about this last night. If you've ever been to the Billy Graham Library, and you wonder what people are going to act like in heaven. I'm saying they're going to act like the people that are working at Billy Graham Library and Chick-fil-A, right? Just gracious, right? I felt like some of the people directing traffic, if we would have ran over them, they would have apologized, right? Come in, did you enjoy yourself? What can we do for you? That kind of thing, right? But besides that, we went and it was raining, started raining, right? I didn't want my hair to get wet. So what we did was, we waited, and then as soon as we saw the shuttle pull up, hey, we went and got under the tent. We got under the tent, and I was standing in line behind some people, and they got on the bus. We got on the shuttle, and nobody was on the shuttle except for me and them. This God's orchestrative hand. I didn't just write this for the sermon. It just happened in the middle of me thinking about how God orchestrates things. So I'm sitting across from this couple, and we just, you know, small talk. Angie says, hey, where are you guys from? We're from Western Pennsylvania. What are you doing here? Well, let me tell you what happened. We had to go to Florida because there was an issue in their family with her family. And they went there and they're basically going on their way to get back to Western Pennsylvania. And they wanted to go and do something. Let this be a spiritual day. We want to stop at the Billy Graham Library. Then we're going to make our way back. And then he begins to talk. He said, I'm a history buff. So I'm just doing history. So we're going to stop at a little town north of here. Starts with an S. And it's in Rowan County. They even said it wrong. They said Rowan County, right? Not Rowan County, right? So let him go on and said, hey, we're from there. He said, oh, well, now I'm a history buff, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to look because I've been searching my ancestors and trying to find out my ancestors. So I've done all this thing, and I don't know if you're into that or not, and he was telling me. And so I was listening to him, and he said, there's a cemetery up there, and we're going by this to look. And he said, ancestors, and he said, not going to mean anything to you, but we're looking. I'm looking for shofs up there. I said, I'm a shof. Showing you how God orchestrates, just in a story. We began to talk. He said, well, my great, 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 that pulled it up, he's researching all this stuff, was this guy. He said, I've got this thing that shows the family. He said, so who is your grandfather? And we went back and started talking. And so we're in his phone. He said, We're looking to see what the Lord wants to do with our life. We're just trying to find what He wants to do. We want to give back, and we're just on just this journey. And who would have known He would set us in front of somebody? Oh, we hugged it out. We prayed together, right? Talking about God's orchestrative hand, right? You don't write this stuff out. You don't meet somebody. You don't get on the bus. You don't leave early to go somewhere on a day because you're thinking there's no traffic. You don't get somewhere and do that. And we hugged it out. We prayed together. And He said, I'll be there to worship with you in the morning. Amen, Kevin. Amen, my brother. Amen. 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 Hey. Hey, why'd I go through all that? Is that about me? No. No, I want you to see how God works on Saturday, amen. Right? I want you to see that He's going to point every single person in the direction that they need to go. My cousin that I didn't even know, that was in Western Pennsylvania. How's that happen? Right? Something must be going to happen in the future, right? That's the way God writes His stories. Don't you know He had these shepherds go? You know why? Jesus explained it later in Matthew chapter 7. You know what He said? He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For whoever asketh, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. And whoever knocks, it shall be opened unto them. You know what all those words are? Ask, seek, knock. They're action words. Somewhere, somebody has to say it sometime. Let's go. Don't they? In order for somebody to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, they have to say, let's go. Brother James came in here for weeks. I was preaching. I would look around. I would see him. As soon as we made eye contact, he would look down. Wouldn't you, James? I'm thinking as myself as a preacher, he either don't want to be here or he's under conviction. A couple of weeks ago, invitation was given. In his mind, he was thinking, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I just heard where I can find the Lord. He stepped out. That's the action. Something in his mind said, let's go. And I heard the most beautiful words that you could ever hear. The Philippian jailer said them over in Acts. What can I do to be saved? Don't you know you have to have the action of let's go? For everybody that's here that's never had that action, you know about God. You believe that Jesus was born in a manger. I want to tell you today that somewhere in your life, your destiny, your eternal destiny depends on whether you say what the shepherd said, which is let's go. Because God will move on your mind first. My body never makes an action that my mind doesn't tell it to do. If it does, I go see a doctor. Right? Right? I'm going to raise this leg right now, Jade. I'm going to walk over here. My mind's telling me to do that, right? Don't you understand that God's going to appeal to your mind? He's going to tell you where you can find Him. He's orchestrating just like me and my cousin, right? That's the God. He knows where you're at. So it's not hard for Him. I'll put this and this and I'll let you do this. But then when you reach a point, then it's got to be let's go. You know, people think everybody's not going to have the same opportunity to go. I say God is a just God. And I say that He doesn't tell you or expect you to come if you haven't been told that you can. I think He's just. You say, what do you mean? I mean, I've read where Jesus actually gives the invitation. In Matthew 11:28, what does He say? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right? Did He say come? Yes. I've read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the revelation of Jesus Christ, where He says, get this picture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That sup with him. That means come in and have a meal with him. That's the Eastern culture that says, hey, listen, when you invite somebody into your house, sit down and break bread with them, right? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, hey, it's not something that you're going to miss. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to stand in your heart's door and in your mind, and you're going to hear a sermon. You're going to hear somebody witness. You're going to hear about Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But you have to say, let's go. Let me get up and answer the door and invite him in. Let me do that. Let's go. Let's go. You know, if you're saved, you got saved because you made that decision. And in that same word, that by that same definition, seek. Seek and you shall find. You did. Sometimes what happens is after we get saved, we rest in the fact that we found him. But we're not supposed to. What happens is we rest in the fact that we found him. Even here at Christmas when we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, but even we get caught up in everything that goes with it. And so, Jesus gave this message in Matthew chapter 6. And basically at the end of this message, he gave this declaration. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? All these things are the things that we stop seeking God and start seeking outside of God. And they're important things. You see, he started earlier in that sermon and he thought, let me cover this because I want people to know that I'll take care of you if you seek me. You see, he got that at the end. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. Because what happens to us? Well, the first part of that sermon, I'm going to refresh your memory. I didn't ask you to turn there, so let me just paraphrase. I got saved at an early age, but sometime in my Christian life, about 6 or 7 years after I got saved, I stopped saying, let's go. I rested in the fact that I'd already found Jesus. And I was going to fast forward to everything's going to be okay, but right now in the middle of my walk with him, this is my time. I said, let's go to a lot of things, but not him. Hey, this will feel good. Let's go. Hey, this is the way that you can make more and earn more and have more. Let's go. Can I get a witness from somebody? Are we just preaching about me today? When I started saying that, I drifted away. Like that message was meant for me. He says, store not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. Well, that was me. And he reminded us later on, he said, you know, the birds of the air, they don't sow. They don't gather it up and store it in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, right? And he knows when any one of them falls. Jesus said earlier, are you not much more important than they are? The same God that's orchestrating our life, you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to be busy about the opportunity that he gives us as believers to say, let's go, when we have an opportunity to draw closer to him, to serve him, to worship him, to obey him, to do something for him, just to be able to talk to him. Ask yourself as a believer, are you saying let's go to those things? Or are you not saying let's go because you're too busy saying let's go to the other things? That's where I was at. Why couldn't I say, let's go to God? Well, the same reason that I hear all the time. We're busy right now. We've got this going on and this going on and that going on. Right, because those are the things that you're saying, let's go to. I've been there. There's another story in this Christmas story. You're familiar with it here at Christmas. It shows us what can happen if we stop putting effort if we stop trying to find, if we stop seeking. We probably need to hear that story, don't we? What do you think, Pete? Yeah. It's the story of the wise men. He said, hold on, Pastor, you've got some misinformation. Like, I thought that's where you're going first. Because if there's anybody that was seeking the Lord, it would have been who? Where did they come from? You know that story. Some say they traveled for years, right? What were they following? You know that story. Did they keep seeking the star? They did. But the story of the wise men is not just the story of the wise men. As all the references in the Bible are given to us, you could know the story of the wise men and miss it because they're the only ones that you see at the nativity scene. I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew chapter 2. And of course, I'm going to give you this. The wise men did. It's evident that at some point in their life, they said, let's go, didn't they? They said the same thing as the shepherds, let us now go. When they left the east to follow, they said, let us now go. Somebody tell me what they said. Oh, say it like you hear it on a ball game. Right on. All right? And they kept each other encouraged. When the one said, my feet hurt or my camel's not acting right. You know that somebody turned to them and said, let's go. Church, don't you know that's what we're supposed to do? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, verse 1 of Judea, in the days of Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. That's the prophet Micah, by the way. And then they read, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah, but out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had probably heard, he called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he said, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know this story. You know this story. So you're saying, why are we talking about this story for people that are not seeking? For people that are not saying, let's go. It's evident. The wise men, they said, let's go, and they kept on keeping on, right? You see, it bothers me that evidently when they came to Jerusalem, you say, why did they go to Jerusalem if they were seeking him? We see at some point in time, they didn't see the star anymore. We think that star led them all the way there, but they wouldn't have went to Jerusalem. They would have went to Bethlehem. God led them and had the star because they needed to go through Jerusalem. That was part of God's plan. But then you say, how do you know the star disappeared? Because when you get to verses 9 and 10, you see that the star reappeared and they rejoiced when they saw the star again. And then the star led them there, right? So we know that that rejoicing was because all of a sudden they saw that star again. So what happened in Jerusalem? Well, it's alarming that when they went to Jerusalem, we read the story, they were looking. They said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? We've seen a star in the east. We followed him here. Well, where else would you find a king? Jerusalem, right? That's where the king is, in Jerusalem, but they didn't see a king. What's alarming is that nobody knew anything about it. You say, well, how would they know something about Bethlehem? Well, again, I'm telling you, logistically, geographically, you're talking about 5 or 6 miles up and downhill, 50 miles now, what the road that you have to take, but close enough, they walked, right? You say, how would they know? Well, how do you know word spread? Because of the first story, and the shepherds made known abroad what had happened to them. Don't you know that it would have spread from Bethlehem to Jerusalem? Because People knew all through history the Savior was going to be born. So what's alarming too is that Herod didn't know anything about it. So he summoned the wise men. Summoned the scribes. He summoned the priest. Why is this important? They should know the most about it. They were able to give him an answer immediately. You know what that tells me? They knew. They knew what the scripture said. They knew God's promises. God's promises are in scripture. Anybody know that? They knew. They said, Micah, prophet Micah, Micah 5:2, in Bethlehem's where he's going to be born. But don't you know there was some chatter in the streets because those shepherds, they had told everybody they knew. Just nobody was listening. Nobody could tell them until he had somebody look it up. Wasn't this told by Moses back years ago that you're supposed to pass this from generation to generation to generation? Listen, guys, in the same way, if we're not passing it from generation to generation, all of a sudden somebody will think Christmas is about something else besides the Savior being born. Can you imagine that happening? Has it happened? Listen, what's even more alarming to me is that he sent the wise men. You know what? Nobody followed them. Not even the chief priest and the scribes. Think about it. If you're a chief priest, if you're a scribe, if you're studying the promises of God, you're supposed to be leading people. This is not a heathen city. This is Jerusalem. The temple is there. The sacrifices are made there. The feasts are offered there. The Passover is observed. This is Jerusalem. And nobody followed the wise men. Nobody said, let's go, but the wise men. They become numb to the fact, oh yeah, this is what's supposed to happen. This is what's supposed to happen. They had the scripture, and for unto you is born this day in the city of David. It was echoed by the shepherds. It was told back into Isaiah, unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Nobody followed them. Are you kidding me? Nobody said, let's go, but the wise men. This is a story about the people that didn't say, let's go. Who found him? The wise men found him. We're given that story too. God wanted you to listen because it's important for us to know. We can hear something and hear something and hear something and know what's supposed to happen, but we can get so busy saying let's go to everything else in our life that we can miss the opportunity of let's go that he puts right in front of us. He wanted you to hear it so bad that he thundered a minute ago so that you would say, listen, right? That's to all you that are sleeping. I know God's power, but I don't know the extent of his power. I know that he can arrange things in life to happen. And he absolutely can show everybody where they can find Jesus. I know that when we stand before him one day, a just God, I know that those that have refused him, once they knew where they could find him, the Bible says the judgment, book of Revelation, it says the books were open. Everybody's got a book. You know that? The books. Not just the Lamb's Book of Life. The books were open. Does that mean a literal book? God's account of your life. He knows every time you were presented Jesus. He knows every time that a star appeared to you. He knows every time that you were told where you can find him. Every time. And he knows if you said, let's go. He knows if you thought about it or whether you said it and you did it. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, He knows if you never said, let's go. But believers, He knows if we said, let's go, but then we've stopped saying, let's go. Why? We were saying, let's go to everything else in life. I mean, it's just a busy time. We didn't have to get so bad. We just got so busy. We have to be careful of this, believers. Even at a time where we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, we can celebrate what we know God's done, but if we stop seeking to be closer to Him, to know more about Him, then we've stopped saying, let's go. You know, I know that sometimes believers can get comfortable in what we know about God the same way that they did. You see, they had all these scriptures. They got comfortable in them. But do you know God wants to continue to do something with you? He didn't save you just so that you could be put on a shelf and one day end up in heaven. The gospel is shared so people can come to God because He loves you. He doesn't want to just say, okay, I'll love you later when you get to heaven. He doesn't want you to accept His invitation and then not have a relationship with you. If that were the case, then it would just be get saved, go to heaven. Get saved, go to heaven. That's actually a selfish thought. There's life in between that, isn't there? And so, He's going to continue to give you opportunities that you can say, let's go. Everybody in here. And then the amazing thing is, He's going to lead you in ways as a believer. And you can testify to this. As a believer, I can tell you that when God's laid something in my heart, and He's told me something, and I've prayed about it, and had peace about it, His direction, even though I don't know how it's going to work out, I have a peace in knowing that He said, let's go. There's a lot of people that never make that step, never take that action. I was one of those people. But He has a purpose for you. He did not save you just so that you could take up room in heaven. He saved you to have a relationship and do a work with you here. Why did He show the shepherds? So they could shed the news abroad. Why? So that we could have the next story. So that those that were in Jerusalem could be identified that stopped looking for Him. God's got a purpose in everything. You know, I want you to take this away today if you're a believer. You know, if you aren't careful, you'll stop seeking Him after you said, let's go, and you found Him. Matter of fact, it's what the devil would tempt you to do the most. Because if you stop seeking Him, then the people around you are not going to find Him. You see, you're the piece that they look at to know where to find Him. I know for a fact God wants us to keep seeking Him. I think about what Paul said in Acts 17. He said, Acts 17, how does that fit into a message 2 weeks before Christmas? Can I tell you, Pete, can I share this? I keep asking Pete, don't I? In Acts 17, Paul was waiting for the rest of his little missionary group to come. He was at Athens. He was waiting for them. And they were delayed in coming, so Paul said, I'm going to go out and see the town. I'm going to walk on the streets of Athens. So as he went out and walked on the streets of Athens, he noticed something. He said, there's altars and shrines set up to every god imaginable out here. Little g gods. People are worshiping everything. They were open-minded. They were practicing acceptance, inclusion, diversity. They said that no god should not be allowed to worship, and so we're going to make sure that they have equal. But there was one god that was not represented there. And Paul noticed you have every god here. By the way, I don't know if I said this before, was it early service? I believe in inclusiveness as long as it has to do with somebody that has a physical or mental handicap. But when it has to do with somebody that stands against God or does something against God or refuses God, I don't believe in inclusivity. So, just wanted to state that for the record. People pick out any little thing you say. I want to make sure, right? So Paul's walking in the street and he notices this and he comes across this shrine, this altar, and it had a big inscription on it. It says, "To the unknown God." They were so intellectual that they wanted to say, there might be a God that we've forgotten, so we want to put something up here and you can just make whatever gods you want to, which is the God people worship the most, which is themselves. So Paul said, and Paul was brilliant. Talk about an IQ of somebody, very intellectual. Paul said, I'll take this opportunity and use this. He said, let me tell you who this unknown God is. So Paul began to tell them, this unknown God that you've got here, let me tell you. And he said, this is the God that created you. This is the God that made you. And this is the God that gives you the breath that you have that you're even worshiping other gods with. Let's see. Went something like this. Acts 17, I'll read to you. Verse 23, for as I passed by, this is what Paul said, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him. Him I declare to you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath to all things, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. Means he knows exactly where you're going to be, when you're going to be. He knows all the way down to the bus or the trolley you're going to take tomorrow. That same God, listen. For in him we live and move and have our being. This same God. He said, verse 27, that men should seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. You don't have to go searching for God. He'd be not far away from any one of us. If God knows you want to find him, don't you know he's going to send word to you? That doesn't mean you'll find him. The only way that you're going to find him is something has to happen in you. And it's two words. Can somebody tell me what you have to do? Let's go. Let's go. Then after you find him, don't you know that every day you have to have that mindset? Or you'll stop seeing just his awesome hand, that companionship. You'll drift away from him because this world is full of all kinds of things that we're going to say let's go to. Things that appeal to our flesh and our mind. Things that appeal to even our sin nature. We're going to say let's go to those things, aren't we? But it's hard to get off track when you're on the way in the middle of let's go, isn't it? And then what are you supposed to do whenever you find what God's given you? You're supposed to make it known abroad. Let me ask you something. He's not hard to find. I gave you a scenario with the children this morning, a little Cammy. I told her these gummies were hidden up here. Told her where they were. I could have said, go search around and find them. She could have searched forever up here until she gave up, but I didn't make it hard to find. Same way God doesn't make it hard to find. But she had to get up and go. The same way that we have to get up and go. That means she had to believe something she couldn't see. That's faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Faith means you have to believe something that you can't see. That means that you have to say, let's go, even if you don't know where you're going. You got to trust the Lord. That's what pleases God. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that, number one, he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently say, let's go. Those that diligently seek him. Everybody getting it now? That's not written to unbelievers. Diligently means you sought him more than one time. That means every day. That's perpetual saying, let's go to God. I ask you today a simple question. Have you ever acted upon that thought and said, like the shepherd said, let us go now? When God has appealed to you and shown you that he loves you, you can see by the truth of God's word that he wants you to come to him. You can see by the truth of God's word that he sent Jesus to die for you. You didn't see Jesus, so you have to believe something that you didn't see. But God is saying, you can find me at the end of your belief. If you believe me, you can find me. But you've said, not now. Maybe later. Or there's another way. You never said, let's go. Listen, I want to invite you today to say, let's go. I want to invite you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can find him the same way those shepherds found him. You can find him the same way that those wise men found him. And you're going to say the same thing that they had to do that kept them going. Let's go. You can do that today. You can leave here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. Not because you deserved it, but because you went to where he told you. It's a place of repentance where you confess with your mouth that you believe. And you believe in your heart. You say, I've done that. Then pray for somebody that hasn't. But while you're praying for somebody that hasn't, ask yourself this question. If you have found him, am I still saying, let's go to God? Are you still seeking him? Or do you rest in the fact that you found him one time? You know, God wants you to come to him if you're lost, but he wants you to come back to him if you have found him and drifted away. Use this invitation time just to ask that question. It's just let's go and ask yourself if you're saying it and you're living it out. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, do something about it today. Make it right with God. Father God, I love you. I praise you and I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your message. I thank you, Lord, for the action of those shepherds. Never noticed it before, Lord, but it's everything. I thank you, Lord, for what kept those wise men going. And I thank you, Lord, for the example that you use for us today in letting us see your orchestrative hand. I thank you for showing me again once last night, Lord, that you're always directing things for your purpose. I pray, God, that every person in here sees that and knows that you have a purpose for them. That you love them if they've never accepted your salvation through Jesus, Lord, that you're calling them to come right now. And I pray, God, for all those that have, that really look at themselves and know, Lord, whether they're seeking you the way they need to. I pray, God, that, Lord, you would accept their prayers. They rededicate themselves to saying, let's go to you. In Jesus' name, amen.